Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is July 5th, 2017. The markets were mixed today, the Dow closing at 21,478, the NASDAQ at 6150, and the S&P at 2432. Our topic tonight, financial freedom, and what does it mean? We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. She will answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. If you would like to talk live with me, we'll just put the call through. If you are not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. The number this evening is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So we're talking about financial freedom. You know, I try to come up with topic ideas each week. And since it was just the 4th of July, I thought, well, financial freedom, we'll talk about that and what that means. It's going to be more of just kind of a general discussion, nothing particular, I would say, because financial freedom means so many different things to different people. So we're just going to kind of have a general discussion in relation to where people are in their lives and what it might mean to them. But speaking on topic ideas, if you do have any ideas or topics that I haven't covered recently and you'd like to share those with me, or you're interested in hearing a particular topic, please let us know that as well. And you can do that by calling 610-758-8810, or again, sending those topic ideas through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So again, as I mentioned, financial freedom may have different meanings to different people. It may mean that you can meet your financial commitments, or that you don't have any debt, or that you can retire. It may mean different things at different ages. What would financial freedom mean to you, and what are you doing to reach that definition? So let's start with what impacts reaching financial freedom. And for listeners who listen regularly, I had done a series of shows, in the distant past, or maybe not so distant past, I don't recall. But I did shows, a series on the different stages of life and where we are, and how we grapple with different financial decisions and choices in those different stages. And I thought that might be a good way to kind of talk about financial freedom as well and what it might mean to us at those different stages. So just a little recap on what those stages are, and then I'll talk about some of the drivers in those stages to help us decide what financial freedom might be. So the testing stage, let me first mention the stages that I kind of came up with. It helps me remember them. The testing stage, nesting stage, investing stage, resting stage, and divesting stage. So for folks who are regular listeners, you might remember the testing stage is what I call that period where we may be trying things on. We don't know how they're going to turn out. That could typically be our college years or a new career. And so testing seemed very appropriate. We're testing things out, testing, think of college years or new jobs. It's a period of maybe uncertainty. So that's the testing stage. The nesting stage is typically that stage we move into after maybe we've started our career, we're in a relationship, we get married, possibly we buy a house. That's the nesting piece. Maybe we start having children, dogs, cats, whatever it might be. The nesting stage. We're kind of settled. We think we're going to be in our job for a certain period of time, and things feel kind of stable, and we're taking care of things. That nesting stage might be that period of time where we're buying assets and we have liabilities because we're purchasing bigger items like homes or cars. So that's that nesting stage. The investing stage is when we're kind of past the nesting. We might have worked down our debt and we now have money to save, to invest, and we're feeling a little bit more confident, have a little bit more money. Maybe we have our emergency reserves and some money for saving. The resting stage is when we're in retirement. We're kind of taking it easy. We're not having to be on that that rat race so much. The resting stage, kind of retirement. That's an easy way to remember that. There's a whole nother set of implications during that period of time, which we'll talk about as we go through the rest of the show. And then the divesting stage, kind of a nice term for, okay, we're at the end of our life and we're getting rid of our assets, either through gifting or possibly upon our death, you know, through a will or a trust or beneficiary designation. So we'll talk about financial freedom in each of those stages. We did have a call come in from Mike in Allentown, and he asked, what is the best plan of action if you have enormous debt due to medical bills? Do you tap an IRA, take out a consolidation loan? Fastest way to lose the monthly expenditure. So, Mike, that's a good question. And in some ways, I would say it would kind of depend on what kind of medical bills you have and if the medical bills might have been paid on a credit card or are they just accumulating with the doctor or with the hospital? So the best plan of action if you have enormous debt due to medical bills is you might want to contact the holder of the debt. If it's a hospital, doctor's office, insurance company, you might want to contact them first to see if they have any resource for you or any payoff strategy that you could use. I don't know how much debt you're talking about or if they're charging you interest. Typically, when people have any kind of debt, I try to have them attack the highest rate debt first. But if your debt is so high that it's beyond the assets that you have, you could work with the vendors to see if they would cancel the debt or forgive the debt. This would not necessarily require any kind of bankruptcy or anything like that. I'm just talking about working with them about possibly qualifying for some cancellation of debt if it's beyond what you think you can pay. Sometimes the hospitals will have programs where they help people with this if it's hospitals. But if there is some cancellation of debt and your debts exceed your assets, you may be considered insolvent and you may not have a tax consequence on that. I want to talk about that more, but we have to go to a break, Mike. So I hope you can stay tuned. And after the break, I'll finish my discussion on this. Questions? The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about financial freedom. Mike from Allentown had called and had a question about the best plan of action for enormous debt due to medical bills, and what's the best plan of action. Again, depending on how enormous they are, there is something called insolvency. Typically, Mike, if someone cancels debt for you, it could be a taxable event. You get a tax reporting document at tax time. But if someone is insolvent, meaning their debts are more than their assets, then to the extent you're insolvent, it may not be taxable. Let's pretend you're not in that situation, that you actually have other assets and monies available. Tapping an IRA, the problem with that was one of your questions. The problem with that is if you're under age 59 and a half, there could be a 10% penalty. There are exceptions to the 10% penalty, but only if your medical expenses exceed, I believe, 10% of your adjusted gross income. So if your medical expenses exceed 10% of your adjusted gross income, to that extent, you could take money out of the IRA to pay it and avoid the 10% penalty, but you still would have income tax. So I'm not necessarily a fan of that. Consolidation loan, if you have a home, could you take a home equity, something like that, line of credit, that might be available for you. Consolidation loan, that we typically hear when we talk about student loans where people might consolidate it. So I'm not exactly sure on the consolidation part. What else do we have here? You don't have an option to pay it off more than what you have in assets. The debt is more than what you have in assets. It's all on a credit card. No negotiation with the hospital offered, all in network, and you do have Blue Cross Blue Shield. So this was some additional information that came in. If it's all on a credit card, you can work with the credit card companies typically. So, and if there is any cancellation of debt and you are considered insolvent, that cancellation of debt would not be considered income. Options other than that, I don't know what your credit rating is, if you would qualify for a 0% interest rate, but that might be an option. But I'm thinking you really need to work with, if it's been all put on a credit card, I would call the credit card companies and see if you can work with them somehow. The trouble is the interest rates could be so high that you're never going to get out from under it. So you either want that debt canceled, forgiven, again, enormous amount. I'm not sure if you're talking $5,000, which could be doable over time, or $25,000. So I would contact the credit card companies and tell them that you don't have any assets or available funds to pay it, and you and it was all due to medical expenses, and see if that helps. Again, tapping the IRA, I don't like that if there's going to be a 10% penalty. Mike, if you have a retirement account that you're putting money into, you could back off on that and free up some cash flow to go towards that debt. But again, you might end up having to contact an attorney to help you get out from under that if it's too much for you. they might be able to help if you're not getting any recourse from working with the credit card companies directly. All right. I hope you get that managed, and good luck with that. But I don't want you taking money out of retirement accounts and having early withdrawal penalties. It just keeps going down the rabbit hole on that. So work on getting the debt canceled. All right, folks. So we are talking about financial freedom. And one of the reasons we want to talk about financial freedom is because sometimes in our lives, we never know when these kinds of situations are going to occur. Mike had some unexpected, probably medical expenses, and it spiraled out of control. And then all of a sudden, life changes. So we need to kind of always think ahead of time and have options. I'm a big proponent of having options. That's why we talk about having things like emergency reserves or making sure we have a backup or insurance coverage so that we don't run into some of these situations. But sometimes we can't help them. We don't know when they're going to happen. People end up getting ill and have sometimes, you know, think they have 20 more years to work, and all of a sudden they have some, you know, life-threatening disease or cancer or something, and then you get to try everything in it. You're not bringing in income if you're not working, and then the medical expenses build up. So it's very unfortunate. So it's really important to make sure you have that health insurance, and that's why health insurance is so important for legislators for changing the healthcare. Anyway, so when we're talking about financial freedom, I was mentioning these different stages that we are in our lives: testing stage, nesting stage, the investing, resting, and divesting stage. So let's talk about those in a little bit more context. When we talk about the testing, and we're thinking about financial freedom, testing, typically you might still be at home, you might be a college student, you might have student loan debt, you might be living independently, you might want to be independent of your parents at this point. So financial freedom to you might mean earning enough money to get your own apartment and pay your bills. But what I would like to offer up is think beyond this stage. So if you are a college student, you're living at home, your parents don't mind you're living at home, maybe now you've graduated, you're working, maybe you have some student loans. If your parents don't mind you living and continue to live at home, take advantage of that and pay off some of that debt sooner while you have the, the benefit of maybe a lower cost of living. Maybe you have to pay your parents, you know, kick in for groceries or something like that. Or maybe they do charge you rent, but it still might be cheaper than going independent and having your own place. Because the other thing you might have at this time is also a car loan, buy a used car. These are the kinds of things you have to think about, making the best decision for you for not just today, but for the long term. I just mentioned sometimes people lose a job or they've become ill and they lose their job. Do you really want to get in debt on a brand new car or a leased car? Buy a used car. You can buy something older. You don't need something brand new or fancy or flashy. Be smart about your decision in the moment. So when we talk about financial freedom, if your goal is to maybe get out of the house and get independent and be on your own, that's a great goal. But we want to talk about short-term and long-term goals for each of these stages. And after I kind of set the stage for each of these, we're going to go in and now talk about short and long-term goals for each of these stages. Folks, we're coming up on our next break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. Lori will write the question down and bring it into the studio. We will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. Tonight we're talking about financial freedom in celebration of July 4th yesterday. I hope everyone had a nice holiday. It certainly has evolved over time. So many stores were open, and I thought, you know, I didn't see people having picnics and all that. But and I missed the fireworks last night as well. So, but anyway, hope everyone enjoyed their July 4th. We are talking about financial freedom. We're talking about what it means to folks at different stages, and it truly can mean different things. We just kind of talked a little bit about the testing stage, and I suggest that at this time, folks should also think about the long term and what they want to do about financial freedom in the decisions that they make today to help them have that financial freedom in the future. But we're going to talk about short and long-term goals as we go through the show. But I will add, the earlier you start, the better you will be and the more options that you will have by starting earlier. I can't stress that enough. The nesting stage, it's the time when you're buying a home, a car, you're starting a family, you're getting new jobs. If you haven't thought about what financial freedom might mean to your future, this is probably the most difficult stage to think about it. You see your whole life ahead of you and you need to get settled and you just do what you have to do. So I think this is really a tough time to think about financial freedom. I feel like it's a more stressful time in people's lives, and they tend to just kind of manage what's coming at them, marriage, children, new cars, keeping up with the Joneses in the neighborhood. So you want to be careful. A quick note in this stage, one of the biggest decisions I think that you're going to make that affects your financial freedom typically is buying a house. The advice you might get at this stage is, how much house can you afford? And so often folks hear numbers that are very high and based on your income, and not a lot of other things are considered. So I strongly suggest that before you get stuck in this nesting stage, really try to be proactive in your decision making. And think about what financial freedom in this case might mean for your future, because right now is not the time you're probably going to have too much financial freedom during the nesting stage. You're going to have a lot of fixed expenses, the car, the house, you know, paying for the kids, maybe orthodonture work. It's just amazing. It's a really tough stage, and people don't always feel like there's a lot of options there. So I really think this is probably one of the most important times to be proactive and pay attention to what's going on at that time. Real quick, before I move on to the investing stage, I had Nancy McCungie call, and she said two daughters are in their mid-20s with no interest in learning about financial issues. Better now to learn than in their 50s. Both have jobs and financially independent, but not looking to the future. Any suggestions on how to encourage them? Nancy, this is a great call and a great question. And your daughter's in their mid-20s. They're not interested in learning about financial issues. This is This is really interesting to me. I think that one of the things that women, I feel, tend to be is more kind of creative and fluid in their thinking around financial issues. Men, I feel, tend to think about, you know, hard numbers. So in talking with young women in their 20s, it might be how we talk to them about it. So, for example, they might not be interested in learning about financial issues, but they might be interested in how much house they might be able to afford someday, or what kind of promotion opportunities might be available at work, depending on what their career is. What kind of benefits are available to them at work? What kind of retirement plan might be available? So when we're thinking more about how this might impact maybe us in raising families or having a family, so it's like throwing spaghetti on the wall or the fridge to see what sticks. You throw out these ideas to see what's interesting to them. The other way I think that people can talk to their children about financial issues is to really bring it home is say, hey, mom and dad aren't going to live forever. And we are doing our estate planning. And that means we have to have an idea of what our assets are, how long they're going to last, and what will be left for you. Are you interested in hearing more about that? And they might be like, no, we can't think about that. Well, this is something we have to think about. So that's another way that we're going to be moving into a stage of our lives where anything might happen. What if we have a heart attack? What if we have a stroke? We need our kids to understand where we are. They're in their mid-20s. This is a time where they need to kind of plug in and be aware of what's happening maybe in mom and dad's financial life. Sometimes mom and dad don't want to share the numbers, but you can share some of the concepts. So that is another way maybe to pull them in. Make it more about you than about them. And in the conversations about you, for example, if you were a good saver, you could say, hey, girls, here's the thing. My 401k is at $300,000. And to kids in their 20s, they might think, wow, that's a lot. How'd you get there, Mom? Well, you know, I worked for years and I put as much as away into the retirement account as I could, or I put away as much as I could while that I could afford when I could afford it. My employer also contributed to the retirement account. And hey, if I put in, my employer put in. So there's all these different layers of financial conversations we can have with our children to pull them in. One of the reasons sometimes they're not interested is because as parents, we've never had those conversations with them. So Nancy, that was kind of a long explanation, but I hope that helped. You know, I didn't want to fall into saying, well, girls, you could shop more if you save more, but and talk about financial, you know, getting them involved in something financially interesting like that. But hopefully that'll work a little bit. That is also advice sometimes if the kids come to you and say, hey, I'm thinking about getting another job. I'm thinking about applying for something. That is also another opportunity as parents where we can say to our kids, well, have you thought about the different benefits that you're going to get if you change positions at your current employer? Maybe they're covering health insurance, and maybe at the new employer, you're going to have to contribute $300 or $400 a month. So that's another way to bring in financial conversations with the kids. The big thing is saving money in the retirement accounts. And I'm going to talk more about that, Nancy, and I hope you can listen in through the rest of the half hour because I might have some ideas for you to share with them about saving in retirement accounts as well. We're coming up on our halfway break. If you have questions, and I appreciate the questions, thanks for calling in. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, and we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY. The time now is 6:30. Here's an update on your weather. The current temperature is 84. Tonight, mostly cloudy with the lows around 64. On Thursday night, it's a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. And on your Friday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with the high near 83. And now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. We are talking about financial freedom tonight and what that means at different stages. I want to just finish up one little thing with Nancy and her daughters. If what I can sometimes will say to people, if you saw $10 on the floor, would you pick it up? And generally they say yes. If you saw $5 on the floor, would you pick it up? Yeah. If you saw a dollar on the floor, would you pick it up? Yes. So when we talk about financial decisions that we're making, and you're talking to your daughters in their 20s, if they're working, is there money they're leaving on the floor? And what I mean by that is if they're working and they have an employer retirement account and their employer gives a match to contributions they make to their employer plan, and your girls aren't contributing, then it's like leaving money on the floor. So that is another little way to whet their appetite to say, here's some free money. Let's pretend they don't have an employer account at work. They have available to them the opportunity to contribute in lieu of employer plans if those aren't available. They can contribute to an individual retirement account. The individual retirement account, traditional IRA, would give them a deduction on page one of their tax return if they put money into their retirement account. It saves them some income taxes. They could do a Roth IRA. A Roth IRA, you don't take the deduction on your tax return. You put the money into the Roth IRA account, and that grows income tax free. The IRA where they get the deduction will be taxed when they take it out. The wonderful thing about the Roth IRA is that if the girls contribute to a Roth IRA and they can do $5,500 at their age, $5,500 a year, up to that amount, they don't get a deduction. It's tax-free if it grows, you know, as it grows. If they ever need money, they can always take out the original contribution without any problem. And that's a big incentive for them to save, knowing that they could get to it if they need it. But one of the things they learn over time is all of a sudden they watch that baby grow when they've invested, you know, over time. And it's really powerful and a great incentive to get them to save money. Also, there is something called a saver's credit. I actually just wrote an article for the Morning Call on this today. It's going to be published in the digital version in the next several days on the saver's credit. It used to be called the retirement savings credit. There is actually a tax credit if you're within a certain age, certain income amount on your tax return, and you contribute to a retirement account. There is a tax credit, and a tax credit is a dollar-for-dollar offset of your income tax. And that credit has a range for single people. It could be up to a $1,000 tax credit, depending on what their income is, depending on how much they contribute to the retirement account, depending on what range of income, what filing status. So that is another free money if you're eligible for it. And that is something to check out as well. So a lot of times, think about it. Kids are working so hard these days, $10 an hour, maybe $11 an hour at a job. And they might not even realize that there's these certain tax credits that are available to them to encourage them to save in a retirement account. And depending on what kind of retirement account it is, it could give you also an income tax deduction, but it could also give you that tax credit. So hopefully, Nancy, I've given you a few ideas to share with your girls to get them involved. Personally, you know, I'm an open book and love talking with people about anything. And when parents don't talk about financial issues with their children, it then doesn't always register for their children to have financial, you know, issues on the radar. So I just think we all should be doing more of that. And I have strongly encouraged that for years. I've also encouraged elderly parents who maybe have estate planning documents and know their children haven't done their job in getting their wills done. I say, hey, talk to the kids the same way I mentioned earlier, Nancy. You'd say, hey, kids, you know, we need to talk about this. Or maybe the kids don't know what their parents have, and the kids can say, the adult children can say, hey, mom and dad, I think I need to do some estate planning. Have you done that yourself? Tell me what that's like. What is, you know, what does it feel like? Do you have an attorney that you're working with that I could also work with? So it's good to have those discussions, whether you're adult children, just adult children, or elderly parents. Make sure we have those conversations. I think it's always much easier to have them ahead of time than after the fact. You certainly do not have as many options if you're always reacting instead of being proactive. So as far as the financial freedom and these stages that we've been talking about, I mentioned that I think the nesting stage is the hardest one to grapple with financial freedom. The investing stage at that point, for the most part, maybe you've managed your debt. Maybe you're in year 20 of your mortgage out of 30. The payments don't hurt as much as they did in those first few years. You have a nice emergency reserve built up. Maybe you're maxing your retirement accounts. So what might financial freedom feel like in this stage? Well, you each have to decide what financial freedom means, but what it could mean in the investing stage is that you actually have money to invest. All of a sudden, maybe you have money to invest outside of your retirement account. For years, you might have said, you know, 5% of my pay goes into my retirement account, or 10% of my pay goes into my retirement account. And you've kind of done a set it and forget it. And that money's built up. Maybe you're not paying attention to it. So what is financial freedom at this stage? Well, if you don't water your garden and give it some attention and pull the weeds, then you're not going to have a productive garden. You also won't have a productive portfolio if you don't tend it. So one of the financial freedoms that are going to help you here in this investing stage might be, now that I have extra money, maybe I'm done paying the kids college costs and that type of thing. All of a sudden I have extra money. Financial freedom at this stage might mean now I have some extra money to spend. That might be what financial freedom is. Maybe you don't have to think about spending like you used to. You're not having to worry whether you buy the organic or the regular or the, you know, top cut of meat versus the cheap cut of meat. That might be what financial freedom means. But at the same time, again, back in this stage, we can't forget that we still have a few more stages to go through. So we should have short-term goals and long-term goals. So in the investing stage, a short-term goal might be, let's take some of that extra money and invest it for the long term. I'll talk more about that as I go through here if I've got time. The resting stage, when we're talking about financial freedom, this is retirement. We have income sources, and we might have some tax planning strategies here. So you feel like you've retired, you think you're done, but maybe not. So financial freedom, what is it going to mean? Well, we have to think about, in the resting stage or the retirement stage, what is that going to look like and for how long? How do I know if I'm going to have financial freedom if I live for another 40 years? NPR's Morning Edition had a segment on December 8, 2016, where they discussed life expectancy in the U.S. And the average life expectancy of a man in 2015 was about 76. And for women, it was about age 81. So that means if you retire at 65 as a man, you'll be in retirement for about 11 years. And a woman at 65 would be in retirement for about 16 years. But these are all averages. My father-in-law is still alive and working, and he's almost 90 years old. In fact, he wants me to write an article on retiring early at 90, because he's debating about whether he should retire or not. So he thought, Lori, that would be a good article to write, retiring early at 90. My mother is still alive, and she's 87. Now, she retired quite a while ago. There's longevity in my father-in-law's side of the family and my mother's side of the family, longevity. So what does financial freedom look like for these folks? My father-in-law still working and saving in his retirement account. He's decided why he might retire early is to, add on to his home and put in a big fish pond and nice big kitchen and doing all this stuff for his retirement home, again, at age 90. And that's going to be financial freedom for him, I believe. And my mother, financial freedom for her, I think, was the day she paid off her house and she no longer has a house payment. But she lives very, very frugally. So financial freedom for these two people at almost the same age, is 87 and 90, mean very different things. So the retirement stage, again, you should probably have some short-term goals and some long-term goals for this stage as well, thinking about what you're going to need in the short term to feel like you have some financial freedom while not escaping the idea that you might have this stage for a very long time, and what do you need to do to maintain that financial freedom if it ends up being not 10 years or 15 years, but ends up being 20 or 30 years. The divesting stage, that gifting and inheritance piece, when we talk about financial freedom, it might be a wonderful freedom, a wonderful feeling for a lot of people when they get to their elderly years. And that might mean age 70 for some people and age 90 for my father-in-law, where they might say, you know what? I've had a good life. I've done enough. I've traveled enough. I have the home I need. I don't need these extra monies. And maybe financial freedom means gifting to their children. It might mean making some charitable contributions to some favorite charities. That could mean financial freedom to people at the end of their lives, being able to see their families enjoy the fruits of their labor, or see maybe some of their favorite charities put into action, a gift that gives back maybe to the community. If you're charitably inclined, that financial freedom could just mean sitting back and watching, people enjoy what you might have accumulated. And when we talk about, accumulating assets, there are people who've worked very hard and don't want to give up a penny because by George, I've earned it and I worked hard for it. And other people may have done what they loved their whole life. Love, love, love. My father-in-law is a professor. Love, love, love. Loves working, loves writing, loves doing all of that. And I think that his hope to pass that down to the family is like financial freedom for him. So in the last part of the hour, folks, we are going to kind of come in and just talk a little bit about some of the short and long-term goals I might see or just kind of throw out there as ideas for people to move toward financial freedom for themselves in each of these stages so that you can actually have a lifelong feeling of financial freedom. If you have questions, there's still time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
What kind of beer do you love? IPAs, stouts, wheat beer, Belgian style ales, American amber ales? We've got all of these and more at WDIY's second annual Homebrew Fest. Support WDIY and join us at the Ice House in Bethlehem, Saturday, July 8th from 2 to 5 p.m. Get your Homebrew Fest tickets today at WDIY.org. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are coming up on the last quarter of the show. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with me or off air if you're not comfortable talking live on air. We've been talking about financial freedom and what that means. Frankly, I think it can mean so many different things to different people. So don't get hemmed into averages or percentages based on what you hear on radio or TV. Make sure you understand what it means to you because it's so personal. I know I'm the kind of person, I am happy looking at the blue sky. I don't need a lot of entertainment. I don't need to spend a lot of money. I am just happy just being with myself or being with my family and spending time with my family. I don't need too much excitement. There are other people who love adventures and like traveling around the world. Well, financial freedom is going to mean two very different things to each of us. So really understand who you are and what your goals are and work toward that. So that's the first part. Then we want to talk about short-term goals and long-term goals for each stage. So for that testing stage, some proactive planning can help manage like the cost of college. I did a show on that a few weeks ago. So managing the cost of college up front, and then that would help manage maybe the subsequent debt and cost of loans. So some short-term goals might be, what can we do to control costs today in the testing stage? And for the long term, what can I do to get these loans paid off quicker? So if you've done what you can to manage the debt, manage the cost of the debt, and you've done that, you were proactive in that, and now you still have something to manage. I'm not saying you're not going to have any debt, but what are your options? Might your parents let you stay home if you kick in and help a little bit with some of the expenses? And that is going to fit into that long-term goal for your financial freedom by relieving yourself of that debt sooner. I mean, I love giving my daughter as an example. She went to the University of Chicago 1 year, got a master's. It cost her, I think she had student loans of just over $50,000. We paid for her undergrad, but not her graduate degree. And I think within 2 years, it's been 2.5 years, it's down to like $14,000. Her and her husband are motivated. They are getting that debt paid off. They were thinking about making some other life decisions and career decisions, and they decided that it was more important to get that debt paid off when they knew they could count on the monies and that they were making on their jobs. And they've limited their expenses. So they've done really, really well. So I'm really excited for them that the short-term goal was that it was important for her to go get this master's degree. And it has been very rewarding for her having it. And the long-term goal was to get this debt paid off. But much sooner, because their long-term goals are to maybe eventually move out of the city, find a home, start a family, that type of thing. Nesting stage, smart choices on how much house you can afford and paying down the debt. So there's numerous websites that have calculators to help you understand how much you can afford, which is interesting, such as NerdWallet or Bankrate or Zillow. So these calculators will look at your income, your debt, your credit score, the down payment, and where you live. Well, what else aren't they including? What aren't we thinking about when we're talking about how much house we can afford? We want to make sure that we're also calculating or factoring in how much we're saving. How much money are we going to put in our retirement accounts? Or what if you decide you want to start a family in year three? So, yeah, I can afford this much house now, today, in year one, based on the money that maybe both, you know, partners are making. But if in year three we're going to have a family, are we still going to be able to afford the home on possibly reduced pay? What if someone loses their job? What if something happens with the child and you can't go back to work? You don't want to overbuy when you're thinking about this. So a short-term goal might be, let's afford a house that is also going to help us reach our long-term goals of having some flexibility in our family planning or flexibility in our jobs. What if you get new jobs, you're in them 2 or 3 years, and not the economy changes, but maybe the job need changes. Maybe they no longer, use horse and buggies for transportation. So you want to make sure that you give yourself a little bit of room and think about what you're doing as far as affording homes and cars and things like that. Investing. What is financial freedom here? That you have enough money to meet your necessary living expenses and still have some to save. Maybe it means that you don't have to think about every nickel and dime you spend. So what might be some short and long-term goals here? Maybe a short-term goal might be to work down high credit card bills so that you have more money to save and invest. It might be reviewing the cost of the investments that you have. A short-term goal might be to make sure that you're rebalancing your portfolio or revisiting it. Recall that I was giving as an example earlier on the investing stage that people might be putting money into their retirement accounts and doing a set it and forget it. At least it's automatic. It makes it so much easier to save when you go to your employer and say, yes, take 5% out of my paycheck or 10% out of my paycheck, and it's automatically, you know, going into your retirement account and saving. That's step one. That's great. That's awesome. But as I also said, if you're not tending the garden, the weeds creep in and all of a sudden things get choked off. And what I mean by that is now you've set it and forget it. But if you're not paying attention to your asset allocation or rebalancing from time to time, you may not be getting the full benefit of those investments that you have. So a short-term goal there could be going in and reviewing your portfolio and your asset allocation on your retirement account. A short-term goal might be, hey, I haven't been contributing. Whoops, I forgot. I started this job 10 years ago and I've never put money in. A short-term goal might be, hey, let me contact HR and say, hey, HR, I've never put money into the retirement account. How do I do that? Remind me. What do I have to do? Oh, I have to fill out this form and say, yes, take something out of my paycheck. Maybe you want to dip your toe into the water. Start with 3% or 4% or 5%, some smaller amount to make sure you can manage it and it doesn't hurt too much. Don't forget about doing those things, especially for people who get an employer match. So for the short term, a goal could be go check if you have an employer plan at work. Is there a match? Am I getting it? What do I need to do to get it? And even if you're not getting an employer match, folks, if you're putting money into a retirement plan at work, you are getting an income tax deduction if you do the traditional 401k piece of it. Some employer plans offer a Roth feature, and that's where you put money into the retirement plan, but you don't get a tax deduction. I think that is something that young people seriously need to look at the start of their careers, because you might be in a lower tax bracket when you're first starting work than you're going to be in when you're 20 years in at age, 40 or 45. This might be the time to make some Roth contributions through either a Roth IRA or 401k feature. So short-term goal, check to see if you're eligible for it. What do you need to do to get it? Long-term goal, set up recurring rebalancing and asset allocation review, that type of thing. See how your investments are doing. Don't forget about that. Very, very important. Resting, what are you going to do in retirement? What does financial freedom mean to you in retirement? So short and long-term goals. One of the things I often hear about people when they want to retire is they want to do some things before they're too old to do them, or they are physically incapable of doing them. And even though I'm a CPA, I am also someone who thinks that we should also live for today. So a short-term goal might be taking that trip that you've dreamed of your entire lifetime. Hey, if you want to go to Greece and you've just retired and you've set aside some money and you want to go to Greece, that could be your short-term goal. And that could carry you through the rest of your retirement, because at least you could say you did it. So that's just an example. What is financial freedom to you? It might mean being able to take that once-in-a-lifetime special trip in your retirement. So short term, you might want to start setting aside funds to do that type of thing. Or if financial freedom means, not having to worry about what you're spending so much, well, give yourself a discretionary budget, because I do believe you still have to watch out somewhat. What we have been lucky enough to have over the last, I don't even know how, going back how far, many, many, many years, is low inflation. And so we have not felt the burden of inflation the way, past generations have felt. So don't rest on that and think that costs aren't going to come up. So I do still feel people have to watch out a little bit. So a short-term goal, take that special trip. Long-term goal, don't spend frivolously if you don't need to, buy a can of soda when you can drink water. Don't buy the can of soda, drink water. That'll help you in the long term. So what is your long-term goal? It might mean to have X amount of dollars or only take out a certain percent for maybe 5 years. And then maybe in the sixth year, now you might be age 70 or 72 and you don't need as much, or you want to spend a little bit more or do that extra special trip. So plan some short and long-term goals. As far as divesting, what does financial freedom mean? I said it could mean gifting to your family. You're at the end of your life, closer to the end of your life. You don't feel like you need the money. Why not let your loved ones see some of it while you're alive, or your favorite charities? I love the ability to be able to do that. To me, that would certainly feel like financial freedom, to see people enjoy what you've just given to them. I had a client who passed away. She started something called Scatter Kindness. I just think it's so phenomenal and wonderful. And after she passed away, her husband used some life insurance proceeds to share with a whole group of friends, 50 people. He gave them all this little amount and said, "My wife wanted you to go Scatter Kindness." They're coming back this year, a year after she has passed, to talk about what they did in this prior year to scatter kindness. What a wonderful gift. But wouldn't it also have been wonderful if she would have been able to see it while she was alive? She was a young woman. It was unexpected. For people who are elderly, why not do something like that now? That could be financial freedom. Folks, I thank you for listening tonight. Thank you, listeners, for calling in. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Shandi, for being here tonight, and John for helping, Lori for taking the calls. Next week, we're going to talk about Roth IRAs, one of my favorite subjects, and what you need to know. And Nancy should have